We're back on the air. This is Radio Entrepreneurs, and I want to thank all our listeners again for tuning in and tuning on with Radio Entrepreneurs in 2016. Our numbers soared, our listeners and our friends soared, and we're hoping to do an even job of publishing in 2017. Do a great job. So, but our next guest is Nettie Nitzberg of West 5 Consulting. Comes with a very impressive background, so I'm looking forward to meeting Nettie. Hi.
Hi. Good morning.
Hi. Nice to see you. Nettie, tell us about West 5.
So West 5 Consulting is a people and organization development company that helps our clients impact business success. We're really passionate about optimizing clients' process for selecting, integrating, and developing their most important resources, which are people. And the work that we do focuses really around partnering with our clients to help them solve people and organization problems, as I said. How that translates in, sounds like a lot of, you know, rhetoric around business, is that we focus on programs that help to bring new people on board, so creating onboarding programs, helping companies to define and communicate their company culture. We work with them to build managers and leaders by building different curricula around that, engaging employees across an organization through employee resource groups, and then do a lot of other custom solutions for our clients.
Now, if I'm wrong, I'm sorry. Your background is in human resources, correct?
My background, yes, is human resources and curricula design.
So why don't you give me the evolution of your background, so how you got into this position?
Okay, really exciting. So I was in retail for many years and was bored with it, made terrible money, and decided to go back to graduate school. Went to George Washington University and got a master's degree in education with the focus on human resource development and specifically curricula design. Then thought, well, I'd like to work for, I think at that point it was either the Big Five or the Big Seven, so I went to work for Accenture for a couple of years doing curricula development, but it was all technical.
Yeah.
And I was like, that is
tough.
Really boring.
Oh,
you know, how many times can you say hit the F5 key? So left the world of consulting and moved it to a startup telecommunications company called SkyTel, which way back in the 80s and early 90s, people might remember because they had Sky
I'm
Pager.
Nodding.
Yes, you know, everybody walked around with their pagers and was director of...
The old guys in the room are nodding.
It was pretty exciting because they were building out the network.
The young guy, I think SkyTel was a video game.
Yeah. it was state-of-the-art technology way back then when we had our Sky Pagers and the technology, and I was director of learning and development. And then I, you know, started a family and said, you know, one of the reasons I went back to graduate school and in this field was it gave me a lot of different options to do things. And we moved, and I said, I'm going to start my own business. Couldn't find a job, and I love to do curricula design. I want to work with people. And now 22 years have passed, and I still have my own business. It's had a lot of flow to it because every 2 to 3 years I get a little bored around what I'm doing and kind of change the business, but have always been working with clients designing and developing curricula and have always had a passion around getting the right people into the right companies around onboarding. I've had some bad onboarding experiences myself, so I want to help companies and organizations do that right. And I love the opportunity to work with internal teams. So I'm a sole proprietor, but I go in and manage very large global curricula and other initiatives with companies, and I get to be a part of a company's team and, you know, work with them for a couple of years. Most of the projects are really large, so it's exciting.
You know, I've always enjoyed meeting people like you on a professional level because it's so complementary to what I do. And
oh,
so I always took a lot of interest in it. But you talked about onboarding.
Yes.
Are we allowed to dive into that a little bit?
Because
it's always been a really interesting subject for me and one where I keep seeing my clients tripping over themselves.
Absolutely.
So, and it's frustrating because it doesn't have to happen. It's not rocket science.
It's not.
So
it's
can
not.
We talk to me about it? Talk to us about it.
Yeah, so onboarding. Let's
do a little therapy on air.
Maybe for some of the older people listening, it used to be called employee orientation. But onboarding for me starts with the interview process, really, and it's a love between the HR and the hiring manager, really figuring out who the right people are to come into the company and really having a good culture as well as job fit, and then creating a systemized or systemic platform for bringing people in. And it's people, and maybe you'll agree, Jeff, across the organization, from an intern to a senior leader within an organization, and having a systemic process to bring them on board. So you don't walk in and, you know, somebody's not expecting you and your desk is empty and there's no computer, nobody's has any projects, they haven't figured out who you're going to meet or who you're going to talk to. It's thinking ahead and creating this agenda and program.
I never had a boss who onboarded me properly. Yeah. Which partially made me into a management consultant.
Yeah.
And
me too. And one of the reasons I do onboarding.
It's so frustrating. It's like I remember getting jobs and thinking, "Uh-oh," just because of the way I was introduced to the group.
Right. Yeah.
And that's the way I felt most of the times as a board member being introduced to clients where I'm a board member, or as an organizational consultant or executive coach for mm-hmm. the leader. When so many times that I would say maybe three times my whole career I've been introduced to an organization in a way where I felt they didn't create a bigger problem for me in my entry.
Right.
It's just people just don't know how to
Do it. And it's as you said, it's not rocket science, but it does take planning and thought, and it does take time to create the process and get the right people involved in it. And that's one of the things that we do is we partner with our clients to really help them think through all of the pieces. What does somebody need to know about the organization? What do they need to know about the business that they're coming into or the function? Who on the team do they need to meet? What do people need to know about them? Who are key stakeholders that they need to meet? And what's that plan? You can't expect somebody to come up to speed in 2 weeks to do their job successfully. You really need to lay out a roadmap in order to do that and have somebody be successful, as well as helping them to build the skills and be developed in their job.
I don't even like the way people introduce me when I do speeches.
Yeah.
I always feel like they're creating problems for me.
Yeah.
You know. And
what problems?
Creating expectations.
Yeah.
Creating resentment, mm-hmm. insecurities. It's not just me.
Yeah.
I think when people introduce people, bringing them into new environments, they don't know how to do it. It's not something they're trained to do,
as
you're saying. And if I'm a consultant or an advisor or a board member, I don't want people to be threatened by me. I want people to talk to me.
Yeah.
I learn about organizations from the people that live in them every day.
Absolutely.
And I want them to live in these places, because they're usually in these places more than they're at home.
Right. Absolutely.
And I want them to be happy and productive people, fulfilling their careers in ways they couldn't. And if they're coming out of the box with two strikes against them because somebody introduced them badly to the mm-hmm. group, I feel bad for them because it's creating instability for the organization, but also for the family that it's happening to and their ability to pay a mortgage, send kids to school. It's just, it's out of the box a problem. You know, they say first impressions last a long time.
They do.
And And
the statistics are actually, speak to that. There are so many people that leave their jobs within the first 60, 90, 120 days because of bad onboarding, because of bad culture fit within organizations.
And
companies not thinking about this. I've also found, too, that smaller companies, or even startups, as they're really getting into growth mode, say, oh, we don't have the money. We don't have the right people to develop an onboarding process. Those companies are ripe for onboarding. Do it right. You're going to have employees that stay with you 2, 3, 5, 7 years versus, oh, I got in. Nobody cared about me. They didn't do this right. I'm going to go try something else.
One thing I said is it affects the whole organization,
yeah.
not just the new employees.
Yeah.
It affects the people who could benefit from new employees. And so it goes to the whole culture and the productivity of the organization. But I also think of it in terms of mergers and acquisitions. The whole concept of a merger is onboarding a whole organization.
Oh, my gosh.
And I don't know if you've done that work. I assume you have at some level. I do a lot of work in that area. But I think the reason most mergers fail is because of that first, let's say, 100 days. Think about new president.
Yes,
that first 100
absolutely.
Days of onboarding. I can go back to presidents and their first 100 days, and I can tell you, I think, after the first 100 days, if they're going to be successful for the next 3.5 years because of how they onboarded their presidency for the first 100 days.
Yeah, I have actually written a number of articles around merger and acquisition and the whole onboarding culture, people, and development process.
We could talk about Donald Trump and onboarding.
Oh, we sure could.
I mean, you know, he's setting the tone. And you know, Obama at healthcare made that definitively his agenda day one.
Right.
Was that the right way to onboard with Congress and the Senate and the American people? You know, you could question that as well. I mean, you can go back to a lot of presidents.
Yeah.
Onboarding is critical. That's the point.
It really is.
So
it
that's
really
why
is.
I dove into it with you.
Okay.
And,
yeah.
I love the subject, and again, I said I'm kind of a groupie and a groupie for what you do.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, I'm really passionate about it. I'm working on an onboarding process for a member organization that I belong to because I had a really bad experience joining that organization and said, you know, if you want to get new members in, you want to retain new members and keep them engaged, it starts with onboarding.
I do that too. I do a lot of nonprofit work, so we're running parallel in a similar world. Nettie, great having you on.
Thank you so much.
We're always short interviews. But if somebody wants to find you, Nettie Nitzberg, at West 5 Consulting, how would they do that?
They could contact me through email at nettie@west5consulting.com or give me a call at 678-438-4803 and check out our website at west5consulting.com as well.
Great. And I give you credit for one more thing before you go. There is no way, under any conditions, I would want to develop curriculum like you did.
Yeah.
That is one tough piece of work.
It is. I love it.
Standardized programs.
Yeah.
Man, you got to sit down and really sit down.
You do. You do. And dig deep. It's like writing a script or a play.
Yeah. Well, congratulations to you. Really.
Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it.
My name is Jeffrey Davis, having a lot of fun at Radio Entrepreneurs, and we're going to take another break. We'll be right back after these messages with more stories.